Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Henderson in the backfield by himself. Bunch up on the lineman on the left side. May throws to his right for Booty. Makes the catch toward the right pylon deep in the end zone. It's a touchdown for the Patriots. 4 yards on a beautiful pass play from Drake May. And it's 16-0 Pats with a minute to play in the first quarter.
Thank you to Westwood One. Yeah, the Patriots piling on last night. 33-15 was the final score, Pearl, so it doesn't look like the blowout that it clearly was. New England was the more physical team. New England was the better coach team last night. I mean, at every point, they had an advantage. But are they actually a true Super Bowl contender is the one question that's hard to answer because the Pats have had a really easy schedule.
Yeah, I mean, you can't tell anything off the Giants where they are. Any team with an interim coach, it could go one of two ways. You either get the Bisaccia bump, as I like to call it, or you sort of give up on the season. And the fact that their rookie defensive end, Abdul Carter, is apparently missing meetings and are tardy to meetings, it seems like the Giants are leaning towards give up. Now, they had a little bit of fight last night. The game was actually, there was a point where it could have been a game, but the silly kicker kicked the ground instead of the football. Yes. And honestly, the reason it was a blowout was not really Drake May. It was special teams. It was a night and day. The Giants' special teams was awful. So, again, it's really hard. I got to see. I'm dying to see 2 weeks, the Buffalo Bills enter. They go to New England, right?
Yep.
If they're in a must-win situation, that is a real test. Because they will be desperate. They will give 100% effort. If New England can hold up against that, then I will give them the contender label.
Well, again, New England going to have an advantage here because they're going into their bye week right now. So they're going to be coming off the bye fresh. New England actually has some injuries they're dealing with on the left side of the offensive line. Couldn't have told last night.
But he won't be there for that game.
But Milton Williams is likely going to be back. Yeah. Their defensive tackle, who they took from the new Philadelphia Eagles. They get healthier, and they face Buffalo, and they're at home. I mean, they've got a lot of things going for them. If they win that game, they do win the AFC East. But I think they're going for the number one overall seed. Obviously, they're the best record in the NFL. And they're going for that home field advantage throughout and hoping that that can carry them. We've seen this happen before. Young quarterbacks, it clicks for them in the second year. And, like, Mahomes made it all the way to the AFC Championship game, only to get, you know, ousted by Tom Brady, Joe Burrow made it to the Super Bowl and was a one play away maybe from even, you know, getting a first down to possibly win that game. It happens for these young dudes.
Yeah, I know a second-year quarterback whose team won the Super Bowl, and he wore green, and his poster was behind me for a long time.
Carson Wentz, but he wasn't the quarterback.
Yeah, but he was.
He was on the team.
Well, yeah, I mean, they were 11-2 because of Carson Wentz when he got hurt in L.A., because he scrambled too much. There's a long way to go.
Tom Brady? I mean, if you want to go way, if you want to even go back to the GOAT, there's so many examples of guys who get there quote-unquote early.
Right, because it's not even early anymore because of the salary cap structure. I think every Super Bowl except one has had a quarterback who's on his rookie deal because you need to pay the guys around him. So that is definitely the formula. Now, New England, it feels radical because they were so bad last year. and you don't really know, like, who are the household names on the team. They do have Stephon Diggs, who is not prime Stephon Diggs. Other than, and, you know, obviously, I think Travion Henderson was awesome at Ohio State. I mean, who are the real standouts? I think they're a little bit unknown. I mean, who are the defensive stars? Christian Gonzalez?
I mean, he was a high draft pick. So
yeah, but it's not like you take Kansas City and Buffalo and Baltimore. We know casual fans know half their roster because we've been watching them in the playoffs. I think this New England team is really hard to wrap your head around.
Well, I think people know, obviously, Drake May. Now they do. They know Mike Vrabel because he's been around forever and has had success. And I think they know Josh McDaniels. And McDaniels flamed out as a head coach, yeah, but clearly as an offensive coordinator, he's good. We put a poll question out. Do you consider the Patriots a true Super Bowl contender? 60% of you are saying yes. So there you go. EJ, can we throw another poll out there quickly? Will Lane Kiffin live up to his contract? So will LSU get their money's worth when it comes to Lane Kiffin? Now, his salary is kind of where we thought it was going to be. A little bit less than Brian Kelly.
I thought it was going to be a little bit more.
Well, but apparently, according to Lane yesterday, it was not about his salary. Sure. But they were all kind of comparable. It was about how much is available for NIL. And he said with that, LSU blew everyone else out of the water. Here, you know, a couple questions here, not to get too much into that. But, you know, Lane is going to come in here, and there's going to be absolutely no margin for error. It's his contract. It's now all this NIL money that LSU has to throw around. So you're going to talk about a very expensive roster and the expectation that Lane is coming in as the savior. Mm. For as good as, you know, I guess for as interesting as Brian Kelly was at the time, were people saying, oh, he's the savior? No, you were still kind of in the glow of a national championship game, right? You still were sort of, you know, it had crashed and burned with Ed Orgeron at the end, but you were kind of still like living off the Joe Burrow, like Jamar Chase, you know, good vibes.
Right. I mean, you're a different program than Alabama was under Saban, where you sort of cycle into a title once in a while, and then it goes away. It's not an every year. Georgia, and I think Georgia sort of took that mantle. There's no expectations that every year you're going to be a national title contender, but eventually you have to get there.
Right, but I think eventually is shorter than it maybe used to be. Like, I think if Lane is not in a national championship game in, like, year two, you're going to start to feel some rumblings. Or let's say they go to the college football playoff and lose in the first round or something like that. I don't think this fan base is going to be satisfied. And all the reasons why Lane is telling you that LSU is the greatest job in the world are all the reasons that the LSU fan base is going to point to it and say, well, then you should be winning us national titles. There's no excuse.
Well, I think, I mean, if that's their expectation for this year, that's not fair because he's already behind on the free agency and
the portal isn't open yet?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, everybody knows that the portal's been quasi open.
Okay, but Lane's been quasi in this job for a couple weeks now.
Yeah, I mean, then he could come in and swoop in and know what the prices are. But they have the bad SEC schedule next year. I think they have to wait till 27, they get the easy one. So next year, for example, and this, I mean, I would say, what, 95% of college football right now is what's your schedule. Next year, they have A&M, they have Alabama, they have Texas, and they go to Tennessee, who might be good next year. So I don't know if he can get to the playoff with that schedule. But in 27, you have A&M again, Ole Miss, Missouri, Vandy, Florida, then you got Georgia. But generally, it's a very, very hard schedule next year. And then you start off with Clemson, who might be down. So if they think that Lane's making the playoff in the first year, that might be tough. Depends who he gets in the transfer portal. I think that's a high expectation.
Did you see what happened yesterday in Baton Rouge, Pearl? They're lining the streets.
Yeah.
You know, Lane's sticking his arm out the window of an SUV, pumping the fist, and some guy in the crowd goes, "We're never losing again." I mean, and I know that's the most rabid of the fan bases who would be showing up to watch Lane Kiffin's Escalade, you know, drive by, but still, you know, the governor's involved. There's a new president, there's a new athletic director, and they've all come in and said the same thing. Lane gets the keys to the kingdom, mm-hmm, and we're all going to stay out of it. Now, we'll see if they can help themselves. But this is all on Lane. He's not going to be able to point to anyone else if he falls short of expectations, and I think the expectation is championship almost immediately.
And LSU? Okay. I mean, I don't know. I feel like if he gets the playoff, that'll be really exciting. And if they're a good team, I guess it all depends who your quarterback is next year. I'd be really surprised if they were a top five team coming into next year. That would be almost shy. I mean, I assume Texas and Ohio State will be 1 and 2 again this year, next year, if nothing unexpected happens. I do see LSU in the conversation with Ohio State. No way.
I mean, LSU was in the conversation last year with Brian Kelly and Garrett Nussmeier. They were the third-ranked team in the country, weren't they? They were top five. Like the expectation has been there for LSU. Look what happened with Brian Kelly.
They were supposed to be good this year. They had Garrett Nussmeier. They don't have Garrett Nussmeier next year, at least not yet.
Well, he got hurt, and I think nobody wanted to admit that Garrett Nussmeier was a lot more hurt than he probably let on, because he was immobile at times. 888-710-4ISN. Poll question. Will LSU get their money's worth with Lane Kiffin? Is this whole thing going to work? Now, Pearl, you have an idea. We're talking about, you know, changes we'd like to see in college football. And, you know, it's not a perfect sport.
No.
They tweak it all the time, sometimes by their own doing and sometimes because outside forces make them tweak it, like athletes getting paid finally. But if you were to make one change, if you could wave a magic wand over the sport, what would it be?
Well, I mean, I hate to say this, I would split off the major football conferences and kill these 18-team conferences, Big Ten, SEC. Let the Big Ten and SEC run it, have 60 teams, and go to an NFL-style schedule.
Okay, but you're still going to have bottom feeders there, right? Like, if you're trying, yes, you're not going to have, and I'm going to pick
out some. You have them in the NFL, too.
Right, you do have them in the NFL, right? We're asking today, are the Patriots just getting fat off of a bad schedule? But still, like, you're still going to have the easy schedule and the hard schedule. I don't think it's going to fix everything.
Well, right, but you won't have. I mean, it's going to get so bad in September that I think the NFL is going to start to sniff around those Saturdays because it's just going to be. Steve Sarkisian said it in his press conference yesterday. You know, why would we schedule Ohio State again? And that might not take place for 5 years, but it's going to be a ton of Texas versus Sam Houston State. That is not good for the sport as a fan. I mean, it depends. What do you want out of the sport? Do you want to maximize profit? Do you want to make it the best competition? I think that they really, really need to address strength of schedule because it's just going to get worse. I know they're going to nine games against SEC, but they basically are killing all interconference matchups. I mean, what's the point of a good team scheduling a good team? It's not going to happen anymore.
Yeah, I mean, if the committee was real about strength of schedule, hell, the committee's not even real about head-to-head. How do we expect them to be real about strength of schedule? I think that was all a lot of lip service. We're seeing that that's not necessarily the case.
And also, even within the conferences are too big. Like, you can't tell who's good. I mean, you might have an Indiana team this year who just happened to get all these bottom feeders in the Big Ten, and then another team like Michigan's maybe. I don't know. I'm just saying hypothetically that if you have 18-team conferences with no divisions, then you're just asking for complete haphazard judgment. There's no common opponents. There's no way to really tell of these top 15 teams who's the best.
So if you're fixed for college football, because we've been talking about a lot of the issues with college football, with Lane Kiffin leaving his team in the middle of what's going to be a college football playoff appearance to go coach somewhere else, so you want to get rid of Texas playing Sam Houston State. But what about Sam Houston State gets a big check from Texas that basically helps keep their athletic department alive because they are like a sacrificial lamb for these bigger teams?
Yeah, I don't understand the purpose of that. I don't know why that exists.
Well, like, how else will Sam Houston State have a football team? Is that's their problem
then
is what you're saying.
I'm just saying, like, what is the, you know, what is the service to the greater nation of having Texas beat Sam Houston 70-3? No, I don't love those charity games. I always think that they're kind of silly. Like, if you really need to support Sam Houston State, then do some kind of charity program where the Power 60, as I'll call it, siphons off some money and throws it to the lesser schools. I mean, if Sam Houston... It needs that $1 million to lose 77. Do they need a football team? That's another question.
Well, I mean, it depends, right? Like, what do you think is the spirit of college football, right? Is it just for the very best of the best? We know the NFL is for the very best of the best. There's no part of that. But college always had a little bit of a different mission statement, right?
So the mission statement is Clemson beats McNeese State 75-3. Like, what kind of mission statement is that? None of that makes any sense to me.
No, but that's just one game out of the year. McNeese now gets to play all these other teams.
But what's the point of that game?
In basketball, they actually made a run in the tournament. But anyway.
Yeah, basketball is different because it goes so deep. I never understood the purpose of these throwaway games. Although once in a while you'll see a near upset. That's great. Like Appalachian State beating Michigan. I would get rid of them. I would just like reorganize the whole thing.
So if I were to make a change to college football for waving magic wands here, I think mine, after watching Lane Kiffin and maybe Kalani Sitake from BYU, possibly would leave BYU if they make the college football playoff, if he's going to be the front runner for the Penn State job. We have no idea if he's going to take it. This is all now just in the ether. But I think you have to go, if you're college football, you have to do like the NFL does. You cannot hire a coach that's currently employed by a team until after the season is over, the whole season. And if that means moving the transfer portal windows and kind of reimagining the calendar for college football, then I think you have to reimagine the calendar. And, you know, I think that there's wiggle room for these transfer portal and National Signing Day and all that stuff anyway. I think that we could have an overhaul on what the recruiting calendar looks like. And so also the hiring cycle for college football coaches, because this seems kind of weird.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying. I heard an interesting, I'm going to steal this line from Marty Smith, who is the guy who is tracking down Lane Kiffin for that great interview on Sunday. He said that that is not as big an issue amongst coaches and teams as people think, because, you know, we're year two of the 12-team. There's only been one coach who's ever done this, Lane Kiffin. He said 99% of the coaches don't even think of the calendar and their contracts as an issue. Like it doesn't happen very often.
Okay,
for the bulk of coaches, it's not an issue.
Okay, but here's the thing. What about also the idea, I know a lot of coaches do complain about this, about you're basically having free agency happen during bowl season.
Yeah.
So why not even change the portal situation for that?
Well, the portals now, they did move it to the second.
It's what, the 2nd of January?
Yeah.
And then you have 1 week now instead of 2 weeks, which I think it should still be 2 weeks.
Well, that's kind of the coaches. Yeah, maybe. But the coaches wanted the one portal. Like, that's a coach's call, right?
Right, but it's the quarterfinals, right, of the college football
playoff. Yeah, so you're talking about most of the coaches are like, well, we're not going to be there alive for that. That is just a rare, and now obviously the elitists of the elite programs have a GM staff that does that while the coaching staff is doing that. You're right, it's not ideal, but again, you're talking about so few teams. Like, we act like this is like a pandemic of Lane Kiffin's leaving their team. It's the first time it's ever happened. And there aren't a lot of Lane Kiffins in this sport. There's one.
Yeah, but see, I think that's also just because of our threshold for like John Sumrall, who's leaving Tulane to go to Florida, but they are letting him coach potentially in a college football playoff or bowl game, or the same thing that happens with some of the guys who are jumping up in conferences. That's just because we're used to it, and because they're not recruiting against each other. Like, you could just make this uniform, just at the end of the year when all the college football is done, then you do the frenzy of coaching hirings like we just had this week.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. They should limit the way you can talk to a coach under contract. But I don't think that's like a major, major problem for college football. And I don't think they're going to change the calendar because the coaches want this calendar, don't they? They wanted one portal and they wanted it to be right around January. They hated the spring portal because...
Yeah, they don't like the spring portal. This is why I remember...
They lose players.
They lose players. They don't like to even do the spring game anymore because then there's tape on guys and...
So, yeah, I think most of the coaches are, this is what Marty Smith said. He said, I talked to most coaches. They think that Lane is an anomaly and the schedule is okay. So it's not as bad a crisis as you think. Again, like, would any other coach other than Lane Kiffin have left Ole Miss in this situation?
Honestly, more people carrying water for Lane.
But I'm just saying, like, Lane Kiffin is 1-1. Like,
well, it might not be if Kalani Sitake moves, it'd be 2-2.
I don't think BYU is going to be. I mean, they're two touchdown underdogs here. I think he's going to be available pretty soon.
Well, the other part is, what about it's not going to stay? We don't think it's going to stay a 12-team playoff for much longer.
Yeah, you're right. That does change the issue a little bit.
If you're an 18th seed, are you like, you know what? I'm going to take that Alabama
job. I think 16 is more likely than 24. Doesn't 24 just seem like the powers that be aren't going to let that happen?
I don't know.
I don't know. They don't care about what, kids' brains? that clearly went out the window. Like, are you worried about too many games?
Yeah, I think they think it waters down too much because the bigger your playoff is, the less important your regular season is, and they make a lot of money off that regular season. I know this was Tony Petitti's idea to go to 24, right? But it feels like the college powers that be want 16. I don't know if they go to 24. 24 is such a weird number. The field of 24. And by the way, one thing about Lane, I am hearing everywhere in media except for our show, that three-letter word that's a garden tool, everyone else is allowed to say it. They're absolutely allowed to say it. I guess we're not saying
what it. What Santa says when he comes down the chimney?
Yeah. ESPN runs it like it is, they are drinking water. It is no big deal.
I did see here Damian Woody. It was not about Lane.
Yeah, no.
He was talking about Shelby Harris said it.
Listen,
about
for your parents
Jennings.
Driving, your kids in the car, you're welcome.
Yeah. This is a family-friendly show.
Looking out for the kids.
Oh, like
just
the kids
forget
don't
all the
know
times we talked about.
My kids teach me some words, what they learn on TikTok.
Forget all the times we talked about strip clubs and boobs. This time, this is a bridge too far. We're holding the line.
If you turn on ESPN right now, there is a human being saying that word.
You stare at women who are breastfeeding?
Oh, yeah, big
you
time.
You creep. a little too
a
much nipple. There you go. He was just setting you up for that. Ball sack was the best. Let's not empty the clip right now. Eric is in Boise. He's got something very important to say. Go ahead, Eric. Big meat.
Yeah, hey, Maggie, I agree with you. I think that the transfer portal and as far as coaches being able to be talked to and everything shouldn't start until a week after the season. Make it last the month of February. That's when kids can transfer. That's when you can talk to coaches. Nothing during the season. And, you know, I know this has just happened once. It's just happened now with Lane Kiffin, but everything has a first time, and it's going to continue. You know it will. And, you know, it's not fair to the university. It's not fair to the players on the team. The other thing, too, I think the players should only get one transfer. I think that's once you transferred once, I think you're locked in or you can leave the school and be done.
I don't know if that's going to go on, Eric, because, you know, it's hard to claw back some of these new looser restrictions that the players have enjoyed. And also, I don't know if I love that. And thank you for the call. I think the first thing Eric said, basically a transfer portal for the coaches too. You only get a certain amount. If the players have to be, you know, corralled into a certain time when they can transfer, make the coaches also have their own portal, so to speak. You can only take a job from this date to this date and then it closes. I don't know. That could be cool. But then the other part is, only transferring once, tough, because what if a coach leaves? What if you have two coaches that you're playing for and you don't like the new coach? You shouldn't be able to transfer a second time, Pearl. I don't know about that.
Yeah, I mean, but here's the bottom line. Like, how do you make up all these rules? You have to collectively bargain to make those rules. And they don't want to collectively bargain because they don't want to admit that the athletes are employees. So none of that's ever going to happen legally. So if anybody tries to sue, any court in their right mind will say, you can't limit player movement and let coaches move around.
Well, they took the portal from 2 weeks to 1 week. You would think they could have sued over that. Yeah. That's a restriction and nobody did.
Yes, that's true. But I mean, I guess there are degrees. Is that really that big a deal? Because almost everybody important left in the first portal.
Let's go to Adrian, who's in Maryland. What's up, Adrian?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, Andrew, I heard you say something that the LSU was waiting 2 years for the easy schedule.
They should.
So you pay a person $100 million to wait for an easy schedule. They could have paid Brian Kelly that and waited for the easy schedule, and then he'd make the playoffs. Unfortunately, it's going to go to 16 teams, so Lane Kiffin's going to look good, even though he hasn't won anything yet. So I don't agree with that. You saying they're waiting for the easy schedule. You don't pay somebody $100 million to wait for an easy schedule. He should be able to win next year, the year after, year after, year after, the way they went and, I guess, picked him from Ole Miss.
Yeah, but you look at the playoff now, Adrian. Isn't it mostly defined by who you play more than how good you are?
I wouldn't say that. No. I don't see
who's Notre Dame played.
They played Texas A&M and they lost to Miami.
I'm just saying, if you can get the right easy schedule, you can make the playoff. So by the way, I can't believe like it's a hot take to say Lane should get 2 years to prove himself at LSU. Is that so much? 2 years, Maggie?
Well, yeah, kind of. Thank you, Adrian, for the phone call. I kind of think it is because First of all, Brian Kelly only got about 3.5 years, and the beginning of that did not have a 12-team playoff. So, you know, to me,
free my boy BK.
He also won 10 games two of those years and beat Alabama the first year and had a Heisman Trophy winner the second year. And it was obviously not good enough for them. I think the playoff has sped up the shelf life on coaches because there's so many, there's what, 130 some college football programs. Well, probably the top 50 think that their team should make it the playoff every year or have a realistic shot, right? And so when you fail, it's going to create this expectation or this reality that the failure is bigger when there's this shiny object at the end and you don't make it.
I mean, again, like Garrett Nussmeier is a quarterback at LSU right now. He's hurt. But they don't have a quarterback next year. Like, how can we even talk about their expectations? We have no idea what the team's going
to
look like.
Because Lane's supposed to bring somebody. Lane's supposed to find the guy. Lane's going to the college football playoff. His team is with the backup quarterback.
So they came in this. LSU was number 9 preseason. I just looked it up. Like, how are they even going to get that high? They have a new coach and presumably a new team. And last year, Lane came in at Ole Miss at like 10 or 11. I just don't see, like, all of a sudden it's like championship or bust. That feels way too rich for me.
Put that poll up. Is Lane Kiffin championship or bust? 888-710-4ISN.
Like Alabama.
710-4476.
Like Alabama, Georgia, Texas. That's championship or bust. Ohio State, championship or bust. Why would you say year one of Lane Kiffin is in that conversation? That team really, they better pay some money. If they want to be talked about like that, I just don't see it.
LSU has won so much more recently than Texas.
Yeah, but now, but everyone knows what's going on in Texas. Like, Texas is now, I'm just saying, like, Texas was number one preseason poll this year. Like, LSU is not going to be talked about. There's no way they come in number one next year. Not even.
Go Tigers!
I don't know if it's number one. I'm saying that the expectation is championship for Lane. And I think if he doesn't do it in the first 2 years, he's going to start feeling it. 888-710-4ISN. Okay, you're welcome to weigh in on all of that. Lane Kiffin's expectations. Also, going back to the top of the hour, are the Patriots a real Super Bowl contender or just getting fat off of an easy schedule? It's the Maggie and Perloff Show. Coming up next, talk about an epidemic in sports that needs to stop right now. Get to it in just moments. M&P.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey. All right, welcome back, Maggie Perloff Show.
One of the greatest radio edits of all time is this song. Yes, Ludacris meant prose.
I'm actually shocked, but we have a poll up. Is it championship or bust for Lane Kiffin in year one at LSU? I would say, EJ, that's not what Maggie said. Because championship or bust, you're talking about like 2 or 3 years.
I was giving 2 years. I was giving him 2.
Well, but it's still pretty close.
You said one, and then she said 2. But I already put the poll up when you said 1 year.
So that's what it will be.
Oh, yeah, you won the tiebreaker in that sense.
Lucky you. We've noticed a lot of
poll, but a lot of that's what happened earlier.
Trash talking lately. if you noticed that this week. A lot of people calling other people names. Pros, for example, is ludicrous intended.
Can we put that poll up? If you were to spell that word, would you do it with two letters or three?
Oh, how do you spell?
Yeah, in the dismissive way.
Yeah.
Three letters, two.
But a lot of trash talk and a lot of people calling each other names. And that's not unique, but we're all finding out about it. Like Shelby Harris talking about Juwan Jennings. And then we got, apparently the punter for the Titans is
that dude's a menace.
Is a psychopath. Talking about he's going to kill people.
Get that guy in a straitjacket in a locked room with no windows.
He's going to have to wear that like mask over his face.
A muzzle.
Like,
he's got the muzzle on this guy.
Like Hannibal Lecter.
Threaten a guy's life if you didn't hear about it.
He threatened his life.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, sure.
But should we know about this? Is there not a gentleman's thing out there that the trash talk on the field doesn't make it into the post-game conversation? Is this, Perloff, just kids these days, guys these days, I call them kids, men these days, women these days, everyone has to do something for the content, for the podcast, to get clicks. Maybe these guys just were airing the grievances. Cam Hayward, after the game, so colossally ticked off that Josh Allen kneed him in the stomach, allegedly. They're bringing all their whining to the post game.
Yeah. Seems pretty weak to me. Like, yeah, I mean, listen, like, even high school athlete, we used to talk crazy trash, and it obviously stayed on the court. Nobody would extend that. Maybe there was a little post game scuffle, but this is ridiculous.
God, I wish there was tape of you trash-talking in Philadelphia High School.
I had to trash talk. I had to try. I mean...
You just hit shots.
No.
I was on the bench commenting to my friends about the game. You have to be good to trash talk. I'm saying you've heard trash talk.
So, Andrew Perloff, God Sham God over here. Pearl has one line that he goes to that's his go-to trash talk. I know your trash talk line.
What's that?
Your mom.
Yeah. I mean, that's everybody's trash talk.
Yeah.
Pearl's a big your mom guy.
I don't do the your mom.
No, I mean, the big line is that's not what your mom says.
That'll always pass the time.
But basketball,
it always works.
Yeah. That's not what you say on basketball court. Like, the basketball court is way more intense, obviously. It's more like...
Go ahead.
I mean, stuff you can't say.
Yeah.
It's not about your mom.
Though. I say risk it.
Nobody's going to be like... Yeah, good point. No one's listening anyway. But it's not like you're going for a rebound and say, oh, your mom would have gotten that rebound. Like, that's not where you use...
No, that's when you go to grandma.
Yeah. Your mom is so ugly, it's a totally different genre. Yeah.
Remember that show, Yo Mama?
Yeah.
Oh, what a great show.
What a classic. I was talking about that show this past weekend. MTV was peak, man. You had Next, and then you had Yo Mama coming up right after that. Then Road Rules. Oh, man. Miss those days. What was the room? The one with the rooms, remember? They used to go Room Raiders, right? That's what it's called?
Mm. Yeah.
They go in your room, they put on that black light, see what was happening, and it was nasty in those men's room.
Who are the comedians who did like the Yo Mama So Ugly off?
That was, it was hosted by Wilmer Valderrama.
Oh, that's what the Yo Mama show was?
Yeah, he hosted that. But then the comedians we were talking about this weekend, I don't think they were actually comedians. I think they just grabbed random dudes from L.A. and just said, go.
Go insult each other.
It was bizarre, but it worked. It was great television.
Here's a $200 stipend. Go ahead and insult each other.
It's kind of like a Kill Tony kind of thing. Like, just a little more low-fi.
And
they
would just be under like some bridge. Also, no set.
No.
They weren't in some like big, flashy studio with lights. They just went under some bridge.
That was the Jackass era. Everything was on the street.
Wilmer got the entire budget. They gave him all the money. They said, all right, all we got is Wilmer and some microphones.
He had four to buy drinks for Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, go. And the show was great.
Should guys keep the trash talk to themselves? I heard Boomer Esiason down the hall talking about this. He's like, I got called every name in the book. I didn't bring it to the post game.
What the hell was that all about?
Exactly what he said. I like it.
Knowing about it? You like knowing Juwan Jennings should get punched in the jaw?
Well, yeah, because like when I'm watching that, I really be thinking to myself, man, I wonder what he'd do to make him so mad.
I think he said bleep to bleep bleep.
Oh, yeah, that clears it up.
Shame on him.
What a pro.
We love reality TV. We love mess. Like, yeah, bring that stuff to the NFL and the NBA. I want to hear all the mess that's happening on the
court. Cam Hayward is too intimidating of a dude to be whining in a post-game press conference about Josh Allen.
Would you have this take if it were, let's say Jackson Dart that had an issue with Cam Hayward? Cam Hayward didn't go face mask to face mask with your quarterback. Would you have the same take?
Yes, I hold Cam Hayward in very high esteem. There's some guys who I'm like, you're too big for this. Like if Miles Garrett came out after a game. If Dominican Sue came out and was like, can you believe that Baker Mayfield called me? They were teammates, whatever. I think they were. Maybe not. Anyway, no. Dominican Sue, Miles Garrett, these big defensive.
Albert Haynesworth.
Well, he's a mess. If Dexter Lawrence came out, if Dexter Lawrence came out and was like, Drake May hurt my feelings, I'd be like, what?
Oh, dude, go eat a cheeseburger and get back in the defensive line. Get back in the trenches.
It doesn't make any sense.
I love it. But Cam Hayward's had a weird year. I feel like I've heard more about Cam Hayward this year than any year of his, what, now 25-year NFL career?
Because he's got a podcast.
This one wasn't even a podcast. But yeah, the other comments, I guess, were all podcasts. He's dissing Aaron Rodgers, and then Aaron Rodgers is embarrassing him on his own podcast. Then he doesn't want to play, even though he said that Aaron Rodgers didn't want to play because he wanted a new contract. And now he's upset at Josh Allen. I'm like, Cam Hayward, take it easy, man. This is the end. You should be chilling at this point.
All right, let's get to Bogus, who's got the latest.
The Patriots won again, and Drake May was very good again. Their win streak is 10. They're 11-2 overall after thumping the Giants 33-15 on Monday Night Football. May, 24 for 31, 282 yards and two scores. Mike Vrabel remains impressed with his young QB.
Drake is he's realizing what he can be and what the impact that he makes on this offense and being the conductor. He's hard on himself. I think that he challenges himself as well as his coaches. And I mean, he means a great deal to this football team.
May remains an MVP candidate and thinks his coach could win an award as well.
He's got my vote, and he's got a lot of people's vote. He's got everybody's vote, you know, in this organization and, you know, in that locker room, and I'm sure across the league.
Very, 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 very far from all of that are the Giants, winless in three games since firing Brian Daboll, and losers of seven straight overall. Jackson Dart took a few more big hits last night. Their kicker kicked the turf, not the football, on a first-half field goal try. They allowed a 94-yard punt return touchdown, and rookie pass rusher Abdul Carter punished for a second time by interim coach Mike Kafka, this time sitting out the entire first quarter.
Obviously, I'm sure he wasn't happy about it, which I understand, but I thought that was the best thing for the team, and it was my decision to move forward with it.
Kafka
17-0 after the first quarter. Definitely wasn't better for the team, but I get you have to send a message.
The coach did not get into specifics, but we believe Carter was late for something once again. There was a fake tweet yesterday that fooled a lot of people, like tens of thousands of people. The tweet said Carter got in trouble because he got caught watching a naughty movie during a meeting because his headphones were disconnected from his phone, so others could hear the action of what was going on.
He was also indulging in the three-word little sentence that Santa uses, huh?
But I got pros.
Here's the thing, though. That's a funny, fake thing to say about someone.
Yes.
Is Abdul Carter the right person to say it about that the maximum amount of people would believe it?
Well, what's odd to me is, and not flattering, is that a lot of people thought this was very conceivable that Abdul Carter had done this. And that was also the first time that it was the first tweet I saw about him missing time at all.
Right. Oh, that's how you got the news that he was benched?
Yeah.
Was the fake tweet.
Right.
Huh.
And I didn't see the timestamp on that tweet and other tweets about. But all of a sudden, the game started, and there he was not playing. So, like, that guy somehow, whoever's behind that account, knew that he wasn't playing the game. Like, wasn't going to start.
Yeah, it's porn.
That's what it is.
I'd almost believe it more about Cam Scataboo.
Well, you could believe it. He's a 22-year-old American male. Like,
it's
possible. We don't know anything about him.
Special teams meeting is the headline here. Watching that kind of stuff in general.
Like, we don't really know Abdul Carter, but you could picture any kind of football guy doing
not at work.
I've heard some crazy stories.
These are like basically college-age kids. It's not, you know, he's 22.
Dude, control yourself. How about that?
I was going to say.
Connect that Bluetooth.
Are you guys new to this internet
thing? Don't you have to go talk to somebody if you can't control yourself for the 8 hours you're in the building?
There's a McCown brother you can call, I think.
Are we shocked when someone gets caught with porn at work? That's happened millions of times.
I mean, I hate these fake reporters.
Millions of times?
Where have you worked? So that's why he's here.
I'm telling you, I've heard some things. I also, to me, when I saw that or heard about this, I was like, I didn't think that that was an automatic discipline thing.
I'm sorry. Wow, that was that wrong?
The NFL, I mean, I think me and Pearl on the same page, it is a raunchy, adult place.
Right, but he missed the meeting because of it. Maybe if he had just done this on his own lunch hour.
Yeah, if you told me that he was late for a meeting because they caught him in the lock, like in a bathroom stall watching this, that's believable. Him watching it in a meeting, disconnected headphones, I guess I would expect a little bit more from anybody than that.
This also, is a new giant organization. We just talked about Lawrence Taylor running around with prostitutes and
different
and,
regime.
And cocaine.
That was not on company property. Wow. It's down the road.
There's a couple players who famously
have issues.
Well, yeah.
Dave Canales wrote a book about it.
I'm pretty sure.
No, but there's a couple players in the locker room who famously would do that in front of other guys.
Yeah.
Charles Haley, right?
Kellen Winslow.
Yeah. And
yikes.
Wait, who's the other guy? Oh, and Aaron Hernandez. Like,
yes, none of these are good people.
Yeah, I was going to say.
These guys ever played in the NFL. But
I think that's way worse. What they were accused of doing is way worse than what Abdul Carter was supposedly doing.
None of this is fake true. He didn't even do it.
It's believable.
But a lot of people
enough.
Thought he did.
Here's the one thing I think we disagree on. You think these guys are paying attention for these meetings? Like all those meetings?
I know, but the Giants really should be paying attention because they are awful in all three phases.
Or can I get a good month of attendance out of Abdul Carter? He just got in trouble for being late. At least behave yourself for the rest of November.
His pants were falling off all night. I mean, you guys are living in the should world.
Is this the pants optional meeting, guys? Just checking.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you guys are living in this, like, what should happen? Yeah, but what actually happens in an NFL locker room is so different than what should happen. Do you think guys are paying attention to meetings? They famously sleep through these things.
Of course.
But there's one thing about taking a nap when your team's, like, a 10-win team. The other, if you're a 2-win team.
I think it's more likely you would want to see.
Yeah.
If your team is terrible, I think like I'm not paying attention to this. Call me when we can get to Cancun.
It's called being checked out. Yeah, I think at 2-10, you are a lot less likely. With Mike Kafka as your head coach, no way are you.
Look at Joe Gibbs' package in these shows.
All right, we got to go to break here. What happened to the family show we were doing? All right, is one college program having major regrets right now? I'll tell you about that next, M&P.
Massive sacks.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Defensive Player of the Week is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Who is the Defensive Player of the Week? I hope you didn't go off last night's game. Because it's too recency bias. But Maggie, you got anybody who jumped out?
Who, Christian Ellis last night with some
major
hits?
Yeah, the big hit.
I'm actually going to go with Sunday night's game. Nick Benito finished the game, ended the game for the Denver Broncos. Pearl, the Broncos found themselves in a really nails to the wall. Yeah. What am I trying to say? Whatever, dogfight with Washington, and Nick Benito called game.
Yeah, that was a good one. I like that. I thought Micah Parsons was pretty awesome in the fourth quarter on Thursday, going back to Thanksgiving. I don't got a better one. What is it, EJ?
Okay, so I've had an up and down relationship with the city, but it's time to show the D some love.
Jalen Dern back in action.
Excuse me?
He has eight.
Hawks go inside. Kay blocks the shot by Daniels. And on the other end, they get an easy one for Stu.
Ending efforts. Look at that. Get it out of here, says Kay. And he was still climbing.
He got way up the block there.
Yes, he did.
Cade Cunningham is your defensive player of the week for the Pistons win over the Hawks last night, 99-98. He also hit a big bucket down the stretch to close this one out. He had six steals along with three blocks, including that one, which if you the broadcast, love you guys, wasn't as exciting as it should have been. I mean, this guy flew out of nowhere and blocked it. Point guards throwing shots is crazy. He had six steals, three blocks to go along with the win. So Cade Cunningham, I know Detroit.
Out of here, Detroit.
It was an intense playoff series last year, but showing you some love. You're the defensive player of the week.
There you go.
I thought you were going to go Jalen Duren, who's he's man among boys.
He could be a candidate every week, but I'm going with Kay today.
Very good. Meanwhile, let's get back to the phone calls. Lane Kiffin. We'll go to Kevin, who's in Idaho. What are the expectations for Kiffin, Kevin?
Well, I think you're both a little short on it, unless they wrote it up in his contract that his buyout doesn't kick in until after two or three years, because they're paying him that much money. They're not going to buy him out that quick unless the deep pockets that brought him there say, hey, he's done. Fans might get tough on him, but the school's going to stay with him for at least 3 years.
I don't know. Well, yeah, okay, 3 years. But, Kevin, that's not that much. Thank you so much for the phone call. I think, you know, Les Miles was there for how long? A decade? I mean, you had guys who actually were around for a while. And obviously that ended really badly. But, Pearl, what we've seen now in college football is it doesn't seem to matter how many years are left on the contract or what the buyout is. If a fan base wants a guy out and the boosters want him out, he's gone.
Oh, absolutely. In the NIL era, there's no patience whatsoever. And it seems like the money is endless. I mean, the money is endless, by the way. If you're paying $25 million a year for your roster, I do think you want to invest heavily in your coach. I obviously thought Lane was going to make more money. Like 7 years, 84. What's that? 12? Help me out with the math, Manny. $12 million a year? Is that crazy?
Okay, but there's a clause in his contract that I think it's if he wins, he becomes the highest paid college coach of all time.
Yeah, even, but I think those are natural. Like, that's the way the market's going to work. It's not that crazy. I mean, I think Andy Reid and some of the highest paid NFL coaches are making between 20 and 25.
But he has to win multiple Super Bowls. Andy Reid's won three Super Bowls and has been to five with this team alone. Like, Bill Belichick won six. I can understand why he was making $20 million a year. Lane hasn't done anything.
Well, yeah, but he's the highest guy in this cycle. Maybe next year it'll be top.
Okay.
Just like Ben Johnson got, 13 last year. He hadn't done anything, and he was still supply and demand. I get it. I mean, people are desperate here to win a championship or at least to be relevant. I'll bet you next year, if this is the highest paid, he'll probably get past next year and year. And honestly, it could have been Kurt Cignetti this year. So, and what does he want? Yeah. It's a market, Maggie. It keeps going up and up for coaches.
Yeah, but, you know, when you take over Indiana and make them into a thing, that feels so monumental. Lane is walking to a place he's called the best job in America. Yeah. He's got all the money in the world for the roster, got all the money in the world for the coach, and they are bending over backwards in a million different ways to say, we are going to leave you alone and you get the keys to the kingdom. Like, it's a situation where he's being set up for no excuses. There's no option here. He can't fail. The question is, what's the actual expectation? I think it's championship, making the playoff.
Lane did something impressive, too. He got Ole Miss to top 10, a place that they've never been in their lifetime. So I think that's why Lane is getting paid so much.
That's where we got to leave it. Thank you, EJ Stewart, Manny Rodriguez, Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan. Thank you to the Weedos and the coffee drinkers. You guys are the best. Callers, awesome, awesome job. See you tomorrow on Wednesday, The Great Debate. Looking forward to that one. Bye.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.